Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
We are indeed a great nation. And of course, today we are celebrating National Diaspora Day. And of course, what we've been doing is to take telephone calls, speaking with Nigerians in diaspora. We just finished our conversation with Abimbola Junaid, a seasoned development practitioner and parliamentary aide at the UK Parliament. Right now, we have on the line Ifedolapo Disu, who lives in London, is a mental health recovery expert. And we will be talking about his life in diaspora and, of course, his vision, his contributions to Nigeria. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm fine. You're doing well.
Thank you very much. How is London today?
Well, the weather is promising and calm. Expecting more better things.
All right. Well, London is like Nigeria, isn't it?
At the moment,
thank you.
Yeah.
All right, okay. What I typically would like to do is to establish your Nigerian-ness. Let the people know that you are truly Nigerian. Please come and tell us, what part of Nigeria are you from? What you used to do before you left for diaspora? And, you know, how has it been so far? Then we can talk more about, you know, what you're doing and, of course, your vision, your hope for Nigeria. And, of course, I'll be asking you why Nigerian doctors are coming over to the UK. UK is giving so much incentives. All right, okay. All right, tell us, establish your Nigerianness.
I'm a true Nigerian. I'm a Lagos boy.
Wow.
I'm a Mercy boy.
Mercy Street.
I was born in Lagos Island, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Mercy Hospital.
You know what they used to say about Mercy?
Yeah. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
The domiciliary period.
Yes, so, yes.
But yeah, things were working very well then, even without much facility at their disposal. Things are really working, I believe so. And everything is detailed. So,
all right.
Well,
so,
I'm a Lagosian, yeah. So...
Yeah. Which schools did you go to in Nigeria?
I was once at in Lagos. I was at Bestel Primary School on around Mandela's area. Then I moved to Ibadan. I was at Ebenezer Primary School. And from there, I went to secondary school in Cross River State, Merino College.
Wow, I know.
Okukuru Goja.
Yeah.
Then from there, I went to... We spent some time in Federal School of Science.
You are a true Nigerian. Yeah. You've been all over.
Then went to Bendel State University with a degree in economics. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, what are you doing in the UK right now?
We all see the way things were going for a young person in Nigeria. So, we find our way. One way or the other, we got ourselves into United Kingdom, and you find out that there are a lot of opportunities and challenges that many of us, or normal Nigerians, normally face when you come in with the home office here and there. But since you are focused and you keep yourself out of trouble, you know all those potential is open to you. So we thank God where we are, and then we find out that most of us, the openness to educational facilities might not be, you might not have the ability to get the finance to go into it, which most of us that comes in there, we really want to read and make sure that we are in better position and placement. But many people are not fortunate because of the circumstances of the home office, whatever. So you find yourself in the mainstream, the easiest place where they find people or they're looking for people is health and social care, which you are going to give kudos to our British government, because that is how they look after the people. After you've worked, they know you need health and care. I mean, at a particular time you are. So the jobs are there. So we find ourselves. At the moment, I'm into mental health recovery, which is one of the things that I really like them for, because we all, at one time, face mental health issue.
Yes.
Even if you are in white collar job, anything can just go on. And when you're in this field, you see members of the parliament, you see mayors of various local areas that they have mental health issues. So they go into rehab They come into rehab, you know, some through accident, and which can change your life. So it's an interesting job where I find myself now, working and supporting people.
All right. Okay, before we talk about Nigerians in diaspora generally, let's talk a little bit about how your job affects us in Nigeria. I have two ladies with me here, Tomi and Tope. They probably would like to ask you one or two things, and I think we can let's listen to Tope now.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Okay, Tope.
Thank you so much for the beautiful insight you have shared with us so far. Just wanted to find out what your take is on the increased rates of suicide in Nigeria.
Oh yes, suicide in Nigeria is on the, on the rise. Alarming,
My own belief. Fortunately, I was in Nigeria last year.
Wow.
Summer period, and before I come around, it has been some time, and you see a lot of people that things they're really working for, and suddenly there is little issue, and you see you cannot meet up with what you're used to do. And why? So all these things to me is still the government. There's no social amenities, there's no infrastructure that can even boost you if you lose certain things in your day-to-day life. So like I said, at one point of time, every one of us will go through distress in life. It is what is in place to keep you standing. They are not there. You know, a man you aspire that next 5 years, this is what you want to be, this is what you want to do, and things are going on. But things are coming in that you need to cater for. But those things that are coming in cannot meet up. Your children are coming in, they start going to school, you have to pay school fee, which I experienced at the time too. We're living well like a young man, got married, then you have a child 1 year after, 1 year plus, is to go to second primary school. They ask you to bring 50,000 because there's no government for you to take your child to. So you want to meet up to send that child to primary school, nursery school, where they're requesting 50,000. And you're not getting that 50,000. You'll be depressed. A lot of things, especially with men, you get depressed. Okay, this is how it's going to continue doing the not. You have 500 naira, you buy food, you walk around the whole town, you come back, nothing. So what next? You see, is that how you want to go into dubious things, you know, and you put all those things together, you want to commit suicide. Everywhere in the world, there's suicidal idea and this like that, but there are people in place working with you. Once they sense that you have this kind of ideation, you see people try to, you go to different consultative meeting where they will help you. But the government is not, I don't see anything there. You are your own NEPA, you are your own water, you provide your education for your children, your health care, whatever. So if you cannot meet up, you tend to commit suicide. And you're looking at some people that are doing dubious things. Are they doing it? You don't even understand. So you lose it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's what we call depression.
Depression.
That mostly leave people into suicidal dimension.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. All right. We, Spirit of Nigeria Radio is very close to this act of suicide because we have, a company that is, doing an anti-suicide campaign. So I understand and share, some of your views about, what you're talking about because suicide is the number two cause of death all over the world after automotive accidents, automobile accidents, and that's really alarming. But now that you're talking about it, now kind of make a differentiation because, when I was introducing you, I was talking about a mental health recovery practitioner or expert. Now, in Nigeria, when you talk about mental health, my brother, they're going to say you don't, Chris. Not psychiatry, but before you get to that level, it starts with depression. So people really don't want to go and see a mental health specialist or a psychologist or now as a Lagos man, yeah, back bouncy, So how do we encourage Nigerians' mental health? If you say to a child, a parent, if for example, you own a school, and you say to a parent, your child needs, mental health, blah, blah, blah. The first thing you hear is blood of Jesus or mommy call. you know, and the guy needs a psychiatrist or a psychologist. How do we resolve that conflict in, you know, in Nigeria? Because in the UK, you have just told us that mayors, members of parliament, they come for, you know, advocate therapy or whatever, you know. And but here in Nigeria, is a no-go area. How do we, and of course, we pay dearly for it. So how do we resolve this? Or what can the society do, or this, you know, the nation can do, you know, about this?
Number one is the institution. There's no, if the institution is stable, the awareness is there for people to understand that if you have a member of your family that you're suspecting one thing or another, it is for you to cry out. Look at in America now, a popular guy, Kanye West or whatever.
Yeah, Kanye West.
The wife started suspecting him that this man is behaving abnormal. And he cried out. So his mental health need to be checked. And things immediately are in place. People have started deliberating over what they can do all over the world because of that person. That does not take who he is from. You see, many people, you just see some TV presenters until they are into rehab. When they go into rehab, it's due to one thing or the other. The pressure of their job, and they cannot cope. And they go into rehab, probably they're taking into drugs and things like that. So there are people there. There's institution to work with them step by step.
That's true.
And some, there's nothing you can really do, but they will keep on maintaining them. That does not take away their finances. You might even see some people you are working with. When you look at their account, what is in their account? In fact, you say when you have that one, yeah, you're going back to Africa. Because it's going to establish. Well, which government is going to give a mental health person and be paying that person money on a monthly basis? People that are working with them, they are getting being paid, they are looking after their own family too. Because once there is a breakdown in that aspect of the system, then the government is going to feel it. They'll be shooting everywhere, they'll be stabbing, they stab people. It's just small amount of this thing that really stabs around. But they are still concerned about that. So when there are people, they should not look at it that, oh, you are mental, that this thing. They start tying their legs, they tie them to the pole.
Or so take
they
them to go, a pastor. Start giving them what role? What role in the UK, sorry, sir. In the UK, what role, you know, do faith-based organizations have to play when it comes to mental health? Because if it's Nigeria, it's either they take you to one Babalawo pastor or imam. That's the first part of call, because everything is spiritual.
No. You see, those are the things. The doctors will assess you. That is their own understanding. There's no which doctor or which whatever that is going to do it. Because this is mechanism that work within human being. So something is going on. So they need to assess it. So all those aspects, they need to take it away. But our culture, at the same time, we cannot, we have resilience. Africans, we have resilience to fight all those things. So that's why they find it difficult to believe that it is not normal. So somebody must have been doing something somewhere. But until that person become out of hand, they will not be able to look after it again. There are mad people all over here, but you know that it's just about mental health, this thing. It does not disturb, it does not And you see people are always willing to help them. Some people will show that people are willing. There's charity everywhere that if they can do whatever, you take food to them in the morning, you take food to them in the afternoon, somebody will call them, have you taken your medication and all those kind of... There's no stigmatization. You see people that have members of their family, they go and visit. Some, because the way they're related to their family, they might not have them coming. But there are people, there are befriending organizations that will still continue to go and see them with all the risk assessments in place.
That's you interesting. Know, so, your emphasis now for us is basically institutional and societal support. Institutional and social support.
Once you get to know, you know, when AIDS, all those things come on, you have AIDS. But in this part of the world, if you have AIDS, you are at the same office. You have, if you want to keep it known, if you want to make people know about it, well, you let them know. If you don't want people to know, but it is almost on you to let them know your, all those kind of area if you want to disclose, so that we have it, so that you know what to do. That does not stick anything to your body. So our own belief, our culture, but gradually I think we'll get there, but we need government to really give the information out, not that where people will just be doing what they're not supposed to do. it's not going to help Nigerians. Mm-hmm. And we are really hard working. So until you get here, before you see the awareness, this thing is not like the way you are looking at it, you know. So it's just the institution. Once the institution is in place, so people will know that, okay, it's not that bad to that level, you know. Monkey no fine, but in my mind, like him.
Yes, that's what Nigeria, we, you know. I understand that. Okay, let's just, you know, as we wind down, you know, talking with you, let's look at the Nigerian nation as a whole. We are a station, you know, that, you know, promotes Nigerian values. We want to promote positivity about Nigerians, not necessarily the negatives. Yes, yeah, I mean, no nation is 100% clean, but we stand for, you know, positive Nigerian energy, a patriotic radio station. And we want to bring Nigerians in diaspora up to speed as the authentic source of Nigerian information. Now, tell us, what is your dream for Nigeria? Where are the missing gaps? And how do you think we can fill those gaps?
Nigeria is a great nation, and there's no way we are Nigeria, even if you want to put the negative aspect of it. Here in UK, once a Nigerian person enters an environment, you see that everybody will move. This is a Nigerian person. In everything, social life, our way of life, people want to get to know you. They want to, if you come into the office, you are from Nigeria. So they want to start from the negative part of it. But you come in, it's not like that. I know how many people that have booked in that when you're going to Nigeria, they want to go with you. So what I'm trying to do is that the security that I can give to them, that is the only thing that is keeping me, thinking that, that, well, if that area of security can be taken care of. But Nigeria is a great place. In this country, we are hardworking. They know that. On a daily basis, people that work here, no matter how small it is, we still remit something to back home to help one person or the other.
Wow.
You know? So, we have, they believe, every person here, they believe that Nigeria, we have the resources, we have everything. If you want to talk, they talk about our petroleum, our oil, and things like that. But you see, I think we fear the future. So it's not making things to work well for us. We are so concerned about how is our tomorrow going to be. So as I've seen saying, it's still the institution, the government, to put something in place. Nobody, no country will be able to match up with Nigeria, if you want to think about that. Because Nigerians, we are so much concerned about tomorrow. So when you get there, you want to gather whatever will keep you only to be on top. Until, you know, so many of us want to come back home. There's no place like home. Home is home. We want to come.
You just took it out of my mouth.
You're good. Yeah.
You took it out of my
mouth. Because the freedom we get from home is different from what you're going to. When you walk into a place, you see yourself as the same. But no matter what they are talking about, Black Lives Matter, when you see enter the office here, you still feel one kind.
I know.
I'm seated in my office now talking to you. Wow. I have colleagues around here now. But, you know, your own will always be your own.
All right.
So we're all looking up for that time. You see a lot of Nigerians, they come. They know they are not going to live in that house, but they still build a house there. It's because they believe that anything can happen tomorrow. We all go back to our country. It's a lovely place. We are very, very hardworking. I know with our hard work. Now, if any Nigerian, no matter how they want to coin it, they will receive you. Once they know that everything is okay. So if government make all our people to be okay from, like the Chinese, most of them, they bring their people here on the program, back and front. And that is how it used to be before. Irrespective, they divert the subscription to one part of the country and they leave the other. Our earlier brothers, our old ones, they got all this opportunity to come and study here. Yes. And when they finish studying, they come back to Nigeria immediately. They don't even want to stay one day.
All right, thank you very much. It's been nice talking to you. And I believe that any other time we call on you, you'll be willing to share your perspective. We've been talking with Mr. Ifedolapo Disu, and I know the Disu family in Lagos, very popular. Yes, he's from Lagos. He lives in London. He's a mental health recovery expert. One day, when he comes to Nigeria, we'll talk again with him. Thank you very much. It's been illuminating speaking with you.
You're welcome. I enjoy your nice bedu. you're giving on the station as well.
All right.
It's therapeutic, you know.
Oh, thank you very much. All right. Okay, all right, you know what we'll do for you?
Keep the
we'll
job
play
going.
You. Yeah, thank you. We'll play you something from Isaleko. This one is Somori Adugbo, courtesy of Wura Fadaka. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. As a Lagos boy, enjoy this one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
There are over 15 million Nigerians around the world. Nigerians with great passion and commitment, filled with talents and embedded with great vision and virtue. On Saturday, the 25th of July, we celebrate National Diaspora Day on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Broadcasting live, National Diaspora Day 2020. Celebrating Nigerians in Diaspora. Time, 2 p.m. Nigerian and UK time. 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time, USA, 9 p.m. China Time. Theme, Leveraging Diaspora Resources for for national development in a COVID-19 era. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.